Episode 317, August 28th, 2017.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
This is the Rob and Joe Show.
The Dave Chappelle and Louis C.K. of Fire Hall Comedy.
The Rob and Joe Show.
This is the racist Rob and racist Joe Show.
Some of their best friends are black.
The Rob and Joe Show, my two favorite guys.
You're listening to the Rob and Joe Show.
Come on, everybody, let's get to the brainstorming.
I worked with Rob and Joe before, and they do an amazing job.
Go back on that Rob and Joe Show.
The Rob and Joe Show.
Now on with the countdown.
With a combined 73 firings, if you count marriages in the Baltimore Comedy Factory, here's Rob Mayer and Joe Robinson.
Well, this show has a huge train wreck possibility. We have a special guest tonight. We have obviously myself, Rob Mayer, Joe Robinson, Robbie the Mall Walker Robinson, and our fourth member is not Marco Cerda. It is the legendary comedian Dr. Gil.
Thanks for having me on.
Yes, good way to be right on top of that intro.
Yeah, I would say it's been all shtick pre-show, and it's the first time opportunity he has to yuck it up. He says, thanks for having me on, which, by the way, is the right answer, Dr. Gil.
It is.
You didn't have to slip on a banana peel there, just high works.
Yeah, we mentioned Dr. Gil about doing comedy on our show and giving him a real critique. And he agreed to do it. Robbie emailed us today and said Dr. Gil is going to be on. And then as we do every week, we log on earlier, myself, Joe, and Robbie, for our pre-show, meeting, if you will. And Dr. Gil is at Robbie's. He's in Robbie's house drinking beer, yakking it up.
That's your turn again, Dr. Gil.
Yeah, we're having a good time. Sorry. Well, all of that's accurate.
And before the show, Dr. Gil was trying out
there.
Bits.
I'll get there. Let me ease into it.
He was doing Robin. We started talking about Game of Thrones, and Robin had asked if everybody had seen it. And Dr. Gil, had you written that beforehand? The bit about Rob going over there as a sort of a USO thing to entertain the troops in Game of Thrones?
I might have written that down. That might be written on the paper next to me.
Wow. Yeah, it sounded like a bit. It sounded like not a regular conversation.
Well, yeah, that's because it was. Thanks for rooting for me.
I don't think, you're in a tough spot already because Joe is especially hard on wannabe comedians, if you will.
0 for 50, right?
Yeah.
And I heard that show, 0 for 50.
Yeah. It's the sort of like the opposite Floyd Mayweather in terms of 50-0. They're 0-50. And I don't think you did yourself any favors with your pre-show shtick with us when we weren't prepared. We weren't mentally prepared yet for the zingers.
I have yet to have a regular conversation with Dr. Gil.
I have nothing
of
value to say.
Everything has been shtick.
Now, I'm not that interesting, really. So I try to.
Well, you're
throw
allowed
out some
to. If we're having a serious conversation, feel free to just say what you think. Obviously, you're smart. I mean, when you were taking the boards, you weren't giving smart ass answers to which capillary does what. You had to answer those questions, correctly.
That's true.
Yeah. So, like in that example with the Game of Thrones, all I was asking is whether you watch it or had seen it, and can I talk about it? I don't want to spoil it. And then I just, it's a simple yes or no question. And then you started doing material and it's like, okay, we, Can we have a conversation? But you're over at Robbie's. You brought beer. You brought food. You've met Robbie's girlfriend. I mean, you're in the family now, it seems like.
Yeah, it's been nice. They've been very hospitable. They're very
Robbie,
sweet
you
people.
made Dr. Gill BYOB. You didn't offer him any drinks, or you didn't offer him your cranberry cocktail.
He brought beer, but the beer was not cold when he got here, so I offered him one of my cold ones.
That's true. That's true. Okay. I'm drinking one of his beers with a lime in it.
Dr. Go, how would you rate Robbie's hospitality? And just overall dealing with him in terms of setting this up, how would you rate all that?
Great. He's been great.
Well, you don't know the Robbie we know because he's a giant pain in the ass. Okay, we're going to get to your comedy, but we talked about this on the bonus show at length, and we teased it in the main show last week. For those of you who don't know, I know Dr. Gill through Todd Moore. Todd, obviously, one of my best friends, lived with him for a decade. You got to know Todd, and then we've all hung out on multiple occasions. And that's how I got to know you. And you have a story about why or that Todd Moore is having trouble with his Uber rating. And we sort of theorized on the bonus show that it could be due to him just being drunk and obnoxious. It could be due to him critiquing too hard the Uber drivers, how well they're doing. Do they have bottled water? Do they have
maybe being late to,
yes,
to
being
not
late,
being where he's supposed to be? Yeah.
Pushing his apps on the Uber driver. So why don't you just tell us the story behind Todd and his difficulty getting an Uber ride for being such a poor customer?
Okay, so a lot of people may not know this, but Uber will rate you. They'll rate the rider as well as you're rating them. So
is that information public?
Yeah. Well, you know it. You can look up your own rating. I mean, they don't broadcast it to the world. You know, I can't tell you what.
Well, I understand it's not going to be on my news feed, but it's public in that I can find it.
You can find it. Yeah. So Todd figured out he's got a poor rating on Uber. And it's bad enough to where if he gets more bad ratings, they may choose to not pick him up.
What is it? A 5 out of 10? Is it?
Yeah.
Just
so it's a 1 to 5, and he's got about a 4.4, which doesn't sound that bad, but anything less than a 4 or 5 is pretty bad. I think mine's a 4.8.
Because the default is a 5.
And I'm sort of a jerk, and I still have a 4.8. Probably because my wife uses mine, and she's very sweet.
Okay, what is causing this low rating?
Okay, so, I haven't been, I've never rated Todd, but Todd surmises that he gave an Uber driver a bad rating, and that guy turned around and gave Todd a bad rating.
Okay.
So you can see that doesn't work because they should be independent of one another.
Sure.
They're skewed in that way. So what you're saying is that the reason he has a bad rating is because he's hypercritical.
Well, that's what he says.
Okay, Dr.
I'll bet you that's not possible.
Yeah, you better have a story here, okay? I need to know, is there a story? Because we've talked about this at length.
Here's the thing.
You don't know why, then, yeah. I mean, that was the time to tell it. So for the third time, why is his rating bad? Yeah.
So here's the story. The story is he has a bad rating, and he's trying to raise it. So he's being super nice to the Uber drivers, right? He's like, he's baking them cookies, He's like, no, let me get the door for you, right? he's trying to talk to them.
Yeah, Dr. Gill. Yeah. So let's say we built this up and we said we have this story that we want to tell about Todd Moore's poor Uber rating. And then you realize you don't have a story. Once that happens, just make something up. You know what I mean? Just pretend something happened. Don't continue down the road that you're going down. Clearly, there's no story at this point. And this is a horrible train wreck. Also, by the way, that was bonus material. Leading up to this, which is not, it doesn't exist. There is no story.
We're losing patrons right now. We'll never get a new one. So let me just make this clear.
That's the story.
He's not baking cookies. Stop. He's not baking cookies.
Yeah, this can't be fixed, Dr. Gill. So don't don't even worry about this. We're just going to have to, this is just going
to
happen.
And he's trying to talk to the Uber drivers. And I think they don't like what he has to say. I think he's digging himself deeper. Sort of like I am right now.
Okay. Let's, Joe and I, we're going to have a conversation right now. No one else talk. When you go on like, you know, Letterman or, you know, Jimmy Fallon or something, Joe, as a guest, they have someone that, you know, a pre-interview and they say, what do you want to talk about? You want to promote this? You have a story to tell.
Two great stories. Right. One is about my trip to Cancun and the other one is about me running over a squirrel. All right. Let's hear them both.
Exactly.
You tell them both. They're hilarious. Oh, I like the squirrel story better. You go on there. So I hear you run over a squirrel recently. Boom. Here I go. The audience reacts and I leave to a standing ovation.
So the question is, exactly, who do we blame here for this? Do we blame Dr. Gill or do we blame our producer who's been hanging out with them for an hour, apparently not producing?
I don't know that I can be upset with Robbie because he said, actually, I would blame you more than Robbie. You were under the impression that there was a story behind this, that he had a reason. What led you to believe that?
The quote, I have a great story about Todd's poor Uber rating.
Well, you had just heard the whole story. Yeah. That was the story.
That's a great, are they going to make a Netflix series about that? So I gave a bad review, then I got episodes. One back. Now I'm making baking cookies.
I went to look for my Uber rating, and I realized I might be the only one in America. I use Lyft.
No, you're not the only one there.
I'm the only one using it. But you can't. I don't see my rating on Lyft. I don't see that. But Dr. Gill, what did you say your rating was on Uber?
4.8.
Because here in the storytelling rating, it's a 1.3. But it's out of a million.
Yeah, you better bake us some cookies. All right. Okay. 0-1. You know what? It's hard to believe. I think your comedy might actually be better than this story. The bar is set really low. So, again, we wanted to have you on. Well, actually, I have helped you with your stand-up. You've done stand-up now, I want to say off and on occasionally for like 5 years maybe?
Yeah, even longer.
Okay. By the way, my Uber rating is a 4.71. I've never rated a driver, by the way. So maybe
they're upset that you're not rating them.
Probably are. So you have done some open mics. I guess a year or so ago, you wanted to do one of Ramin's open mics, which Ramin usually has excellent open mics, well attended. And there was one at the Arlington Draft House, the little side room. And I helped you to punch up some of your jokes. And you went there. You brought a bunch of people. You had a really good set. And then at the show at the Reston, Spot in Reston, where the guy wrote the horrible article, you were on that show. And you're going to do that show again, I understand, here in September. And you want to gear up for that show, correct?
Right.
Correct?
Right.
So you've done stand-up 2 times now?
No. He's been doing it off and on for like 5.
Okay. Years. Okay, gotcha. Have you ever considered going to a storytelling event?
They have us. So to give us a baseline on what you normally do comedy-wise, why don't you go through, you'll do a joke, we'll talk about it, maybe you do another one, we'll go from there. So ladies and gentlemen, I give you storyteller, comedian, Dr. Gill.
Thank you. All right, so I'm married, and I'm glad to be married, because it's hard being single these days, right? When I was single, I had a girlfriend, and this girl was bipolar, and she loved sex, right? Which is good. But she was very particular about her sex. It was always like, faster, slower, harder. Well, not that hard. She was very particular about sex. In fact, when it came to sex, she was anal.
Okay, Robbie, the drops are very distracting. Yeah.
So, Rob, I'll let you start.
It's Dr. Gill shticky. It's not my cup of tea, but it's also something that you might get some laughs, but it's really, you're not really saying anything.
So there's two laughs in there. On the harder, not that hard, you won't get a laugh there. Which I believe is one of the three laughs in there. The other one is bipolar. That's not bad. I mean, it's a little teeny rug pull. I mean, that's not a bad joke. It should definitely just be a throwaway within another joke, but that's not horrible. The anal. Okay. I mean, no one's going to laugh there. And the reason is that you're being sold something. So when you're telling your joke, like I'm talking to you right now, let's say, for example, I was telling that joke. I would talk to you in the same manner I am right now. I said, hey, I'm happy to be married because dating was miserable for me. Matter of fact, the girl I dated right before my wife, she was bipolar. Okay. But then it doesn't sound like you are, they know it's a lie as soon as you open your mouth because it sounds like a performance. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So if you sound more like you would in your natural voice, you'll get away with a little bit more. If you're going to do an anal joke, it better be a lot funnier than that. Does that make sense? I see what you said. The joke is she's anal retentive, but the sex she likes is anal. She gets fucked in the ass. Like I see where you're going with that. But if you're going to do an anal sex joke, you know, it better come out. I see what you're saying. You think it's going to come out of nowhere. And you have this clever play on anal and then anal retentive. I'm not saying that it's not clever. I'm just saying I don't believe that that's going to get a laugh. Rob, what do you think?
Well, I've heard bipolar. I've just seen that and heard that a lot. It seems like a joke. Now, obviously, I'm not a typical audience member, so I could see that getting a laugh. But for me, that's something I've heard 100 times.
And a funnier way to maybe do it, Dr. Gill, is if you said, hey, she said she was, you know, you make the audience think you think she's into anal. And then instead of her being into anal, oh, no, she was anal retentive. She organized my, you know, whatever, however you want to say it. But start out as if you think something is going to be something dirty and then make it into, you know, yeah, she had organized my cabinets. She had done maybe something in that direction versus the direction that you took it.
Gramps in chat liked the joke, by the way.
Right.
There you go.
So nice. Right. I'm one for one with Gramps.
All right. Well, he's the most important person. Let's continue. Another joke, please.
All right. She always gave me a hard time that we were having premarital sex. She said, it's not right. It's premarital. I said, you know, it's not really premarital since you and I are never getting married.
That's actually funny. I like that joke.
I do like that joke. I remember that one. You're still telling it in that same way, but it is a good joke.
Yeah. Why don't you tell it? By the way, it is a good joke, but tell it this way. She was giving me a hard time because she was uncomfortable with premarital sex. I said, listen, don't worry. We're never getting married. If you said it like that, I think you'd get more out of it.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Continue. Okay.
I'm Jewish and I'm allowed to have premarital sex. I mean, it's not really allowed, but it's condoned. I'm allowed to have premarital sex. I'm just not allowed to pay for it because I'm Jewish. Unless I get a really good deal like a 2-for-1 special.
That's okay, good. Take out the 2-for-1. I don't like that. Hold on. Let me think for a second. So you said I'm allowed to have premarital sex. I'm just not allowed to pay for it. I get it because you're cheap because you're a Jew. All right. I'm
just not allowed to pay for it unless it's a good deal.
Yeah. I hear. Yeah.
Unless it's on Groupon.
Yeah, that's funny.
Thanks. Well, thanks for stealing my next joke.
Oh, that's right. I think that
was that it.
Now, when I do pay for sex, I like to get my hookers on Groupon.
It's funny.
The thing about getting your hookers on Groupon is you really want to be one of the first to redeem that voucher.
That's good.
Yeah, that's good.
Okay, keep going.
Yeah.
This is a different direction.
Sure.
All right.
You're starting a new. You got a segue? You got a segue to get me there?
Well, no, because this is new material, so I haven't haven't built it in yet.
All right. Go ahead.
Okay. I think in life you have to do what you really love, what you're really passionate about. You know, you guys love being comics, and you have this great show. You're successful. David Beckham, he loves playing soccer. He's successful. I feel like if only Bill Cosby had become an anesthesiologist, his life might have turned out different. You know, he'd be doing what he loves.
No, I got it. But you're over-explaining it. They get it as soon as you say anesthesiologist. Everybody gets it at that point.
I got you. I don't have audience feedback.
Yeah, right. It's just
you're doing a rape joke, so it's got to be super funny.
people, they don't even want to think about Cosby. It just makes them uncomfortable. Because they're like, he basically broke everyone's heart. Because everyone loved Bill Cosby, and now he's this monster.
It's also a long way to get there to a letdown.
Yeah. It's also a weird choice of David Beckham. That's your athlete that you went to.
Well, I can skip all the, you know, examples of people.
Anything that isn't going to get a laugh.
No, yeah, you I can can't. Skip right
it's not
to
that
it.
It's not clever. It is. But what Rob is saying is that, you know, why are you choosing this risky material?
Oh, I've got much riskier.
Okay, let's hear that. Keep going.
All right. Dating is different now than when I was dating. When I first met my wife, technology was not that mainstream, right? I met my wife in 2005. And on our first date, I told her that I could always tell when someone has Googled me. And she had no idea what it was to Google someone. She's asking her friends, and they didn't know. And she told her friends, hey, look, I don't know what this guy's into. He wants to Google me. All I know is I'm not going to Google him until a third date.
No. I don't think so. I mean, it's not. I think the concept of dating then pre-technology is. I mean, there's definitely some. That's an interesting subject matter. I mean, Joe has delved into that a little bit with how you used to have to get someone's phone number and call their house where they lived, and now it's just a lot easier. It's a different.
There is some funny stuff there, but you talk about back when I dated, again, you could talk about something, you know, from the, you know, I'm trying to think of something from the, you know, the 30s that you can reference. So anything just to kind of say we used to blah, 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 right?
Yeah.
And then let me think of that.
Or if you want to go dark, here's a dark way to take that. You go, she didn't know what Google meant or what Google was, which is good because my last wife, I murdered. That's definitely on Google.
That's pretty funny. That's a lot funnier. But also, remember, it shit better really hit because the idea of the only person that I know who doesn't know what Google is my father. He's 75 years old. Everybody else in the world does. So as soon as you say she's not familiar with Googling, they're like, okay, well, this is a lie. So that you
know. No, this was in 2005.
Oh, I got you. Okay. Yeah. All right, now what Rob said would work.
Okay.
You want to go ahead and try that line that I just said, Dr. Gill?
Yeah, go ahead, Dr. Gill.
Go ahead.
Back when I met my wife in 2005, she was not familiar with the concept of Googling somebody, right? Which is good for me because, well, I murdered my last wife.
That's funny,
That's good, see? That works.
All right, Rob, go ahead and just take that.
It's a sick, okay. It's to the point.
All right. Good job, Dr. Gill.
There you go, Dr. Gill.
How's Gramps liking that one, Robbie?
He liked it until Google got mentioned. Fell asleep.
All right, keep going.
Okay. Now, 10 years ago when I was dating, the traits you looked for in a mate were different than they are right now. Like back then, if you told a girl she had a fat ass, she would kill you. It would be suicide. But now, everybody wants a fat ass, and it's a compliment. If you tell a girl now, you say, hey, get your fat ass over here. They smile at you and say, oh, don't sweet talk me now.
It's the setup to a joke, but it's.
But, you also don't need to say, you can just say, or maybe the direction is this, is that, you know, 10 years ago, you told a girl she had a fat ass. You know, obviously, that was an insult. But people think that it's accepted today, and I thought it was too, but I told my wife to get her fat ass over here, and she, you know, something that maybe like that, but shorten it.
Okay, that's set up
a joke, right?
Or, you know, 10 years ago, you tell a girl you have a fat ass, she's like, that's rude. Now it's a compliment. On the other hand, fat face, still rude.
Yeah, that's good, yeah.
Hey, get your fat face over here.
He's writing that down, Rob. All right. Jim Amato in chat said he wants to see a comedy throwdown between Dr. Gill and Chris Restivo.
I'll take Dr. Gill.
Me too.
Thanks.
I want to.
Do you do impressions, Dr. Gill? Yeah.
Do you do impressions?
I could do Bill Clinton.
Okay. Good. Maybe you and Dan Ida could go on tour together. Can you do Eisenhower?
You do the impression of the Secret Service guy taking the finger in the ass for Dick Cheney.
I do that. Yeah, I play that out. I pantomime that.
Yeah, it's good times. All right. it's your closer.
And I was practicing that down in my basement, and there are windows there, and I noticed we had some guys working on our house. They passed by the windows right as I'm practicing shoving a mic up my ass.
Why don't you do the joke now since I brought it up?
Well, it's a visual.
Okay, but at least explain.
Okay, the joke is that I took care of Dick Cheney back when he was vice president, and he came into GW Hospital, and part of doing the workup was doing a rectal exam on him. So I go to do the rectal exam on Dick Cheney, and a crazy thing happens. The Secret Service guy jumps in, takes the finger for Cheney. No! And I turn around. No! And the mic goes, where it goes.
Yeah.
There's a punchline. Wait.
Oh, sorry.
The good news, Mr. Cheney, is your heart's just fine. The bad news is your Secret Service guy has an enlarged prostate.
Polyp would be funnier.
Yeah, I like the joke, but I feel like the pantomime, is it awkward that I feel like you don't need the pantomime?
I agree. You don't need that part. Yeah.
Yeah, because if you just go, no, everybody gets it. Yeah. You know, but if you're in there motioning with by the way, you said that somebody walked by while you're putting a mic up your ass. Is that true? Did that really happen?
Yes.
I don't know, Dr. Gill. That sounds like shtick to me. You were in front of a window.
I wasn't in. I was down in the basement. And we have windows. We have like a sliding glass door. They were in the back. They were doing some work. And you know, I'm not sure if they saw it. If they saw it, they probably have think something. You know, they didn't bring it up. Let's say because they wanted to get paid.
Let's take a break. I will say this: the train. You might have gotten it back on the track. So Rob and Joe should be right back.
Die Laughing Productions is back with another hilarious whodunit murder mystery comedy show. From the people who brought you A Merry Murder Mystery and the newly dead game comes Back to the 80s. You're attending an event at Glenbrook North High in Chicago, Illinois, where the students, faculty, and alumni are gathering to open a time capsule that was planted exactly 30 years ago. But a still unsolved murder case will transport you back when gas was under a dollar a gallon and cell phones were the size of a brick. Ferris Bueller, Marty McFly, and all things 80s murder mystery mashed up with me, Justin from 98 Rock, and the audience, you're going to be the star. Some of you will get to play parts in the show, and all of you will guess who the murderer is. Guess right, you could win something bitchin'. Guess wrong, and you'll be a butthead. Jean jackets and leg warmers are encouraged. Eat, drink, laugh, and solve a murder. Back to the 80s.
Next performance, September 2nd at McGoobie's Joke House, Timonium. Tickets are on sale right now. For upcoming show dates and more info, please visit DieLaughingProductions.com.
So, Dr. Gill, you started off with the worst story of all time about Todd Moore and his Uber. And now, I got to say, Joe, him doing this comedy, I think his jokes in itself are not horrible. And this back and forth we're having, I think it's going pretty well.
Well, no, after we fixed him, yeah.
Sure, but that's
can't
part
leave
of the
him
reason.
To his own devices. He can't be the person responsible for writing these.
Jim wants to know if he can do a tennis ball.
So he does Bill Clinton. That's what he does.
You do any sound effects?
No.
Okay, that's fine. Good. Only one person can do the tennis ball. All right. Do you have more jokes, Dr. Gill?
Yes, I do.
All right.
Men aren't very sympathetic. You know, when you ladies are at that time of the month, you're emotional, feeling bloated, not feeling very sexy. And what do we guys want those few days of the month when you just want a little break? That's right. In our minds, it's Blowjob Tuesday. I can tell you with certainty, and I've seen this as a physician, that if a guy was bleeding out of his dick, it'd be a national crisis. He wants to know where the nearest ER is.
No, that's horrible. Yeah, you're gonna the only thing you can
just
do
take that pen and just scratch that hole.
Yeah, that's awful. But if you want to alienate half the audience, you can say those 3 months, you know what we want. dinner. We want it just like we want every other day. I mean, if you want to be misogynistic, you can do that, but take it in a different direction. You know, that if you're going to say something anti-woman, you know,
this wasn't anti-woman.
Dr. Gill, didn't you have a fat girl joke that I tried to talk you out of at one point, or a line to a joke?
The line that you said, you can't use that. You want the audience to like you. Was when I had a bit about, I said, you know who's great at multitasking? Date rapists.
What? Okay, yeah, I can see you. I don't even get that. Like, what are they?
Did you ever say that on stage? Like, no. They can date and rape at the same time? Is that it?
Yeah, Rob talked me out of it. He said it would be a bad idea.
Yes. Yeah.
Why don't you? I think Rob's wrong. I think you should do it.
Use it at work during your bedside, man.
I'd have it as my opener and my closer.
and do the Cosby stuff.
Fucking jokes.
Yeah.
Maybe incorporate those two.
All right. I want more for some reason.
Okay.
Me too.
So my wife likes it when we dirty talk, right? Now with dirty talk, things that would be offensive, expressions that would be upsetting in regular life, they're allowed in dirty talk, right? For instance, when we dirty talk, the term little slut is often used. Now, ordinarily, I don't like her calling me that, but with dirty talk, I let it slide.
I see. Okay.
It's not bad.
All right.
Yeah, that's not bad. There's something better than little slut.
Yeah.
Dirty whore. You know what I mean?
Okay. And then I go on and say, and Rob actually helped me with some of this. So it's going to be funny, okay, because this is sort of
we'll
Rob's
see.
Material. All right. So with dirty talk, if it's too clean, it's not good, right? But if it's too dirty, somebody's going to get offended. Here are the rules of dirty talk. Little whore allowed. Fucking whore not appreciated. Stupid whore broken up. Fat whore murdered.
Yeah, that's pretty funny.
Man,
but
classic Rob. Yeah.
That sounds like a Rob Mayer joke. But what you're going to do when you tell it, I wish you could just. The funny thing is, I always say, you know, when you're not conversational, it feels like a lie. But the problem is that when we were having our conversations before the show, this is what you sound like. So hello, my baby. Hello, my darling. Whatever you're doing, that's your life. So is there a way when you talk to a patient, you're not doing the yuck yucks, are you?
No, I think some of this is, you know, I'm not familiar with the radio. I'm more
not
comfortable
radio,
with,
but
no, but when I'm, you know, when I'm in front of a mic. I get some feedback from the audio. I think it's less jokey.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You know,
make it less jokey. I hear you.
Right. Yeah. It seems very insincere when it's dripping in the shtick. If you're talking the way that you would normally talk, you're going to get away with a lot more.
Okay.
Sorry. Go ahead.
I hear you.
But the joke is funny. I like the joke.
Yeah. I think, you know, dirty talk, some is good, but there is a line. Like, you know, you little slut. Okay. You dirty slut. I'm still with you. You stupid slut. Whoa. You fat slut. You're broken up. You know, there's a joke in there. I think there's something there.
The way you did it was perfect, Rob.
Thank you.
Yeah. How about at the end, you call her mom or something. It is something. How about at the very end, you say like something like that, you know, grandma, let's get back together. So something that takes it in a completely different direction. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It's not going to be highly offensive, but you're calling her something outrageous and that she likes that again. But anyway, go ahead. Let's hear what else you got.
Okay. So I'm a cosmetic surgeon and a stripper came in the other day and paid for her surgery in all cash, all single dollar bills and, you know, not a great stripper. So she gave me the money and I took the money. I'm like, what am I going to do with this dirty money, right? So I took it to the bank, ran it through the money counting machine. That machine now has chlamydia. It happened 6 months ago. The poor bank teller who counted the money still has glitter on his fingers. So after counting the money, I realized that stripper still owes me money. I mean, what is this world coming to when you can't trust a stripper? So I march on down to Camelot Strip Club, and I got paid in lap dances, 32 of them to be exact. They weren't playing songs. They were playing albums. Now, she's lucky she paid me. I might have had to repo her left tit.
God, I hate that joke.
Yeah, I think it is. You know, he does have that misogynistic, whatever the word is, that theme throughout, that it's sort of, you can't trust a stripper. I get what you're saying, and the money is dirty. It's got chlamydia and all this. I mean,
you're always going to push the audience away when you're making fun of somebody else. You're always going to engage the audience when you're making fun of yourself.
Yeah, you want to make fun of yourself more. Yeah.
I like the idea of repoing. I would say left boob. It seems.
Yeah. Also, the idea that I'm trying to think of where somehow you need to somehow degradate yourself in there. But I'm trying to think, you really can't if it's a stripper. I was going to say basically just handing me my own money back. But then you're at the strip club, which they're not necessarily, it's not going to resonate with the women either.
Yeah.
I don't know.
How about this? Sometimes I get strippers come in. They want to have surgery. The other day, a woman came in. She goes, "Yeah, my name is Rebecca." And I'm like, "I'm pretty sure your name is Star."
Yeah, Lamborghini. Yeah. That's. Let me see your driver's license. Oh, okay.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure I know you. And yeah. So to make her feel more comfortable, I played Pour Some Sugar on Me. And
during her surgery.
Now she has two double Ds.
I take that one back to formula.
All right. Okay. We're making progress here. I think you're going to be a better comic at the end of this than you were at the beginning.
Yeah. Spend a little more time at your own expense too.
Okay. All right. Fair enough.
You have any more for us?
Well, so this one's more of it's not formed yet, but here's the premise, right? The premise is that when I was single, I was so desperate for companionship that I ordered a mail order bride. But when she gets there, there's a problem. She's so heavy, I couldn't afford the postage due.
How about you ordered I ordered a mail order bride. It's M-A-I-L. God, I hate when I get that wrong. So, I'm kind of fucking that guy.
Yeah. And I gave him a bigger dick. I'm a surgeon. I think that's somewhat onto a premise, or maybe somebody said that and I thought of this. The idea that, you know, why would I want to order a wife? I mean, can I get a mail order blowjob? I mean, who's paying postage and handling to get married? I just like the idea that you're trying to find a wife is a
A mail order blowjob. I think that'll.
Yeah. Well, we'll try that out.
What does Gramps think?
Oh, Gramps, good question. He is an expert with the ladies. So, Joe, on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being you think Dr. Gill did horribly, and 10 he was great. Where do you think he did?
Well, are we taking after our suggestions?
Yeah, like just
what
the whole
left with. Yeah, right. I mean, with what you're left with is a 5.
Do you think was he funnier than you thought he'd be?
He's exactly what I thought he would be. I knew he'd be smart, right? Because he's a doctor. Yeah. So usually smart people are clever. He had some clever jokes. I knew that, you know, there might be an issue with how he presents that to the audience, which there is, right? So my advice to Dr. Gill, and you can talk to Robbie, is the first thing is clearly, you know, you want to try to dial down the shtick. I think we've said that. I'm not just trying to pile on. Second thing is you definitely need to write jokes where you're the butt of the joke. People are going, that's going to ingratiate yourself to an audience. If you are just taking out, you know, rapists and Bill Cosby and other women and strippers and so forth, you know, I mean, you better just be throwing haymakers with your jokes if that's going to be your material. But I mean, there's a good foundation to some jokes there. There's definitely some stuff that would work.
Now, Dr. Gill, when I did that show with you a couple months ago, I made fun of, you know, you, the whole doctor, with you being a cosmetic surgeon or whatever, you know, term you're calling it. And that seemed to get laughs. I mean, have you ever played around with that? The idea that you're not taking, people don't take you as seriously because you're not doing brain surgery just because you're sucking fat. There's got to be something in there.
Yeah, we should work on it.
And you could also say, you know, and you could be complimentary to people like, well, you're not a brain surgeon. Well, yeah, that shit's hard. You have to be smart to be able to do that. Yeah, I mean, make your have fun at the expense of your of what your profession is. You know, I mean, you don't want to really defend it at all. You want to, you know, that makes you more endearing.
Yeah.
Or like, you know, I suck the fat out of people. I make them more attractive. No one's ever fucked someone because they had brain surgery and now they're smarter. No.
Matter of fact, the smartest people, they have the most difficulty getting laid.
Right. Yeah, I make you more fuckable, and that's more important. I don't know. There's got to be something in there. Oh, you have to have – I know there's some doctor-patient privilege, but you have to have
that
some real
life –
That
doesn't apply to comics.
Okay. We have to have some real-life stories, right, about, you know, actual things that's happened to you.
Yeah.
That are funny, right?
I mean, yeah, they
have,
funny
you have
stories.
To have stories.
I've got stories. Let me tell you one about Todd Moore. And his Uber rating.
Oh, Dr. Gill with the callback. You know what? I got to say you were a good sport. Do you want to plug your dates?
Yes, please. Why not? September 23rd over at the Rest in Place, Cafe Montmartre.
Yes, it's very complicated.
Yeah, but they're not going to hear any jokes they didn't hear today, right? I mean, this is, don't go branching out on your own.
No, so I'm giving... This is my B material. I'm bringing my A material to Cafe Montmartre in Reston on September 23rd.
Run it by Rob first, please.
Thank you, Dr. Gill. Let's take a break. We'll come right back. Rob and Joshua.
Thanks, guys.
Hello. My name is Rob Robinson, but you all know me as Gramps. If it weren't for me, there would be no Rob and Joe show. If it weren't for my DNA, you'd be listening to the Rob and Ramin show. Or worse, if I decided to stop at one offspring, you'd probably be listening to the Dan Ninen Show. So I'm speaking to you as someone who has provided you with top-notch entertainment for over half a decade. Become a Rob and Joe Show patron on Patreon. Go to patreon.com/Rob and Joe Show. Do it now so you don't miss out on the premium content and some other great stuff. I did it. So should you. Now back to the Rob and Joe Show.
I think that ended up being pretty good.
That's exactly what I thought it was going
right.
to be. Well, he was a good sport.
I mean, the Todd Moore shit was a train wreck. But
yes, and thank God you pulled the plug on that quick.
Yeah, I kept waiting for something. Like, no, there's nothing there. All right, well, let's move on.
Maybe we can have Todd on to rebut that.
Well,
that was just a joke.
We'll have the Uber driver on. We'll continue this saga with no payoff.
What happened? He'll be like, well, I don't really remember. Okay, all right. Well, nice, good talk.
Are you going to go to Cafe Montmartre in Reston and see Dr. Gill?
I can assure you that I will not. I will not be going there.
I think Dr. Gill is much funnier than Chris or Steve.
He's obviously a lot more clever.
Put it this way. He won't sabotage himself like Restivo. Well, he'll just call someone a faggot, you know.
His politics more than I like Restivo's. How old is Dr. Gill?
Probably in his 40s.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, you're just like, hey, it's too sticky. I think that just might be who he is. I think that's what you're going to get. I don't know that that can be pulled out of him at this point.
See, I wonder if he's different around people that he's not trying to be funny around. Or is he always trying to be funny?
You know better than I do. He's been to your house. Did he ever
But I know he's always trying to impress me. So I don't know if he's just trying to do that with
Well, if you wanted to impress you, he should show you his ATM receipt. You're not going to be impressed by him trying to be funny.
I've been to his beautiful house in McLean. I know he's doing well.
Yes, I can imagine so. That's what Aunt Tish said. She said those guys make bank because the insurance doesn't cover it. It's all cash. You show up with 10 grand or whatever, and you hand it over.
See, I feel like he should have actual real stories. Now, maybe he can't, you know, he's going by his real name, so he doesn't want to advertise that or talk about it. You don't want to hurt your business for that $80 a year you're making doing comedy.
Like he could make $80 doing comedy.
How crazy was it that he was there? That threw me for a loop.
Yeah, you thought Robbie was playing drops of him. I was like, that's pretty amazing if he was.
I had no idea what was happening.
Oh, shit. Hold on one second. My computer's dying. I just realized it. Hold on.
Plug it in. You know what? Are you back, Joe?
It's in my car. I got 27 minutes left. So
okay. Okay. You know, I'm curious, Joe, our legendary fan that passed away, Eric the actor, what do you think he would have thought of that segment and Dr. Gill.
I'll tell you what, he's the fact that the Mac Bergsons of the world and the Eric the Actors of the world are not available in chat, he's saved his bacon, I believe.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think, well, I know Eric would have hated the jokes, but would he somehow turned to taking it out on us, I think, somehow.
Yes, he would have blamed us for having the segment. He would have been how could you have let this happen?
Well, I did a gig recently that I wish Dr. Gill had been there for, because it could have made it more fun. Well, I shouldn't say that. I'm probably being too hard on this, but I did a gig last Thursday. And speaking of Todd Moore, where Todd Moore's from in King George, Virginia? Fairview Beach, Virginia is technically what this place was. It's, you know, down Route 5, past like La Plata, Maryland. And it's just, it's a place that you've never heard of, even though I've lived around generally in this area my whole life.
I've never heard of that place.
Right. So it's a 2-hour drive, but then of course it's, you know, during rush hour. So that just makes it horrible. It's on the Potomac River. The little beach area. It's a place called Rick's on the River. It's outside, which is, you know, that's fine. I mean, the weather's nice. It's like 70 degrees, so it's not unpleasant at all. But they have a stage and a mic, and then in front of the stage is sand.
God.
And no tables, no chairs.
People are required to sit or stand in the sand?
No. They're sitting and standing at the bar 45 degrees to my right.
Oh, God. Okay.
Okay. So you have to, you know, turn towards them, tell your jokes. Plus, John Yeager, who ran the gig, eventually turned these fans off. But there's two fans blowing because, you know, if it's hot, you want that. So now you can't even hear yourself, let alone hear them.
Now, you're headlining, I assume.
Yeah, I'm doing a 45 minutes.
You know, I know you have more to this story, but, you know, I ran into that, I guess it was about a year ago when I talked about that, the gig I did on the Eastern Shore where you walk in, you go, this can only fail. It can only fail. And, you know, that's the thing that sucks because, of course, you know, John Yeager's a friend, right? I was doing the show back then for RJ Jackson. You don't want to like let them down, but you know that this room is going to die. It can't succeed. So you might as well be like, no, I'm going to leave and sacrifice your pay and just get in your car and drive home. All it's going to do is make you feel worse about yourself. And then you have to drive for 2 hours thinking about it.
Well, I will say this. Once the show started, everybody, they pulled up their bar stools and moved closer. They faced you. They were paying attention. They wanted to have a good time. So that made the show, at least on some level, work. Because they're, you know, the fact they're looking at you at an angle doesn't matter to them and their experience in terms of enjoying it. But from a comics perspective, it's hard to do well in comedy in ideal setting environment, especially hard when you can't really get a feedback or a vibe on how you're doing or if people are even listening. And so that was hard to do. Now, I will say that afterwards, you know, people were coming up to me and people kept trying to buy me drinks and some did. And they were very complimentary. So it's obvious that the show worked for them. But it, you know, every second you're like, is this going well? Am I bombing? Are they laughing? Is this, you could never tell if you had them. Now, it turns out I did for the most part. But, you know, when you're going through it, you don't know that.
Who else was on the show? Anybody we know?
Petey Steele, who did his, he went short. Now, he did well, though, but, you know,
I wanted to know. Yeah. Could you see the people before you and how the audience is reacting to them? You couldn't see that?
No, he did well. And that made me feel like, okay, this is, I can do well. But then when I got up there and those fans are blowing on me and I'm like, wow, I can't tell. You can't really hear them laughing. Yeah. And you're like, you know, we might as well just be Dr. Gill telling us on a podcast without us commenting.
What sucks is that the people running those rooms, you know, and he already said his name and he's a friend, but they need to know, they know better. They do. They know that, look, I've said it on here before. a comedy show, you have to be elevated. You have to be lit. You have to be amplified. The people can't be talking into the audience, and they have to be able, you have to be able to be within, you know, a close enough proximity that you hear feedback. You know, that it has to be, that has to be, those ingredients have to be present. If not, then it's not going to succeed. And if you're just looking for a payday, let me know, because I don't want to be part of that.
I mean, I get it, because I've been at that point where I'm trying to book gigs to make money, and you start, you know, not doing it with less than ideal situations. I mean, I've made money and booked some awful shows in my day, so I totally get what he's doing. You know, at the end of the day, I made some money. But, you know, I was supposed to do the DC Improv open mic that night, which would pay me zero money, but would have been a very would have been fun and enjoyable and closer. But oh well. So we had the great meeting, the great fantasy football draft with Katie's dad, Frank, getting to see the full show announcer Tim experience. You know, we talked about how we were worried would Tim go too far, and I don't think Tim. I think he was himself. I don't think he pulled back at all. At one point, he changed his team name to Frank's a Dick just to be funny.
I'm going to be honest with you. I thought, and it maybe it's me, because Tim always accuses me of turning people on him. You know, people that wouldn't never make fun of anybody, like our friend Phil.
Right.
As soon as they get around me, they start shitting on Tim. Well, here's a guy who he really enjoyed the first time he met him because he was having fun at my expense.
Right.
And Tim was very, very excited about being here and having somebody on his side to make fun of me. But of course, it got to the point where Tim realized, well, wait a second. Now I don't have anybody on my side again. Katie's father literally looked at Tim and said, hey, I might make sure I have this correct. He said, have you ever thought about killing yourself?
Yeah, because at one point...
I said, good God!
Yeah, it was... Robbie, you would have loved it. At one point, Tim starts going in about, you know, dig up so-and-so's mother and have sex with her. I mean, just some horrible things, right? And so we're playing poker at this point, and there's a pause in the action and whatever was happening on the Orioles game or whatever that was, Ravens game, whatever we're watching. And Frank just looks over and says to Tim, have you ever thought about killing yourself? And it was such a great question, because if you're around Tim and you're just seeing this, it might cross your mind that this guy's got some issues. Of course, we all just cracked up laughing.
Well, it's so funny because Eric Woodworth, who also the first time in a room like that, and Eric Woodworth, one of the stars of our murder mystery, on his own podcast, he talked about it. And he said,
I got to check that out. Quality time.
And what he said was, he said, I finally got a chance to meet, you know, former producer. Clearly, we'd never let Tim produce this show. Good God. But former show announcer Tim, he said, can you believe he's a bigger dick than Joe? It's not even close. He said, he makes Joe look like Chris Hardwick. That's the analogy.
The other thing that happened was, now, we all know, Joe, that Katie is much younger than you, which makes Katie's father much closer to your age than a typical relationship. So rather than distancing yourself from that and trying to look as different as possible, you showed up wearing the exact same hat as Katie's dad. You look like brothers.
Well, Katie, clearly, you left out the elephant in the room, and that's that I walked in without shoes.
Yes,
but
less than our Under Armour hat.
The reason that was a gift from his daughter. We both got these hats. So, you know, the joke is, did you call each other? Well, no, we would talk to each other. We would not have worn the same hat.
Can we talk about Eric Woodworth's poker ability?
God, I felt so bad.
Robbie, get mad at us. We're talking poker.
Well, he was so bad at poker, and my computer's getting ready to die. So if my computer dies, I'm so sorry. We'll just end the show. But he was so bad at poker one time, and he called a hand with queen high. He didn't raise to try to win the pot. He goes, oh, I guess I think this is good. And he just gave away, I don't know, Rob, was about $54, I believe, that he just gave away. So I felt kind of bad, but you don't want to say, hey, you need to stop playing. You suck at poker. But I turned to Phil. I said, I feel bad, but somebody's going to get that money. I hope it's me. And of course, it wasn't me. I didn't get the money, but I think Rob and I were the only two people that won that night. So,
yeah, well, look, you know, we all know what bluffing is, but if you bluff and then someone raises you, you know, at that point, you've cut your losses. You know, there's no point in calling at that point because, you know, the only way you were trying to win was by making the other person think you had them beat. And once they're obviously showing strength, there's no more cards left to come. So this is it. Your hand can't improve. So he did that once where he just, like, yeah, I'll call that. It's just, you're just giving me $40 at that point. But thank you, Eric. You will see Eric this weekend, two shows. You also see Robbie doing sound. Back to the 80s, 7:30 and 9:45 p.m. this Saturday night, September 2nd. McGoobies, Joke House, Ferris Bueller, Marty McFly, all things 80s. Eric plays Cameron Fry from the Ferris Bueller universe. It's an amazing show. Definitely check it out. We've done it, I don't know, 6-7 times by now. I think we've
always a great time.
Always a
great
time.
I will be on, you know, I was on WBAL last Friday.
Yeah.
Talking politics for 2 hours.
Did you tell me who Jeff Sessions is?
Didn't know. Everything they talked about, I didn't know. Didn't stop me from just, you know, bloviating or whatever the word is. I just talk. I knew nothing. Didn't know anybody they were talking about. Didn't know the subject matter. You just say it with confidence. I think they believe you. But I won't be doing politics this Friday. I'll be on 98 Rock filling in for Scott Reardon, plugging the murder mystery. I know people never get tired of hearing about the murder mystery, but if you come to them, you'll realize why we push them so hard. They're hilarious.
Well, you're also going to go on there and be hilarious and be interesting and be funny. So it's like,
no Dr. Gill, but I'll do my best.
All right. Wrapping this up, I have to complain again about not getting the Twitter love. Now, Robbie, I'll ask you if you get this joke. I know Joe will get it, and I don't think it's too hard to get, but I'm curious if you would get this. This is WBAL tweeted out a story. This was back about a week or so ago. Baltimoreans wake up to find 4 Confederate statues moved. And I quoted that tweet and said, did they send them to Indianapolis?
That's a great joke.
Thank you. Obviously, I'm talking about the Colts. They, in the middle of the night, they move from Baltimore to Indianapolis.
I saw that tweet, and I enjoyed it.
Thank you. And I had people telling me, dude, that was so funny. And nothing. No, I mean, it had a few likes and a few retweets, but, you know, whatever. And I thought, you know, BAL, you can retweet that, but then probably someone would get upset. If this is not getting any love, then what's going to work? Like, I had did we lose Joe, by the way?
He's gone.
Okay.
He was very prepared tonight.
Do you want to just bitch about Joe for the last few minutes here?
That's all. I said what I want to say. He was very prepared.
Okay. Hey, you know how he keeps saying he needs to get this cord or whatever?
Yeah.
Like, when, you know, Amazon, it's $5. It'll be there in one day.
I mean, with respect to this, Joe is the 180 degrees opposite of me. If I was losing the computer in my house that I was using to do the podcast, I'd be in a panic. I'd be doing everything I could to make sure that I had my computer all set and ready to go. Joe, he's just like, I'll worry about it when the night comes.
Yeah, that's our buddy. All right. Well, on that note, give me more Twitter love. Come to McGoobies this weekend. You'll see everyone will be there. You get to, you know, Robbie won't be singing. It's a different show, but he will be there. And he will make sure to have the plug to plug in his computer and he won't lose power.
Brand new bonus show is up.
Oh, yeah. Check out the bonus show. Go to patreon.com/RobinJoeShow for $5. You can hear that show and all of our bonus shows. It's the best deal in the world. See you guys
later.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.